So we're going to pick this up in verse 14. We're going to read verse 14 first of chapter 27 of Psalms. For this reason, because as you read the first 13 verses, you know that David is speaking. But when you get to verse 14, it's almost as if someone else is speaking here. That's how my mind begins to work. So we're going to read this verse first, and then we're going to jump back to verse number 1 and read this whole chapter. It says verse number 14, bear with me, I forgot my glasses this evening, so if I mess up on a few words, I'm pretty sure folks will tell me. But verse number 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now you're going to jump back to me in verse number 1, and then you're going to see here David speaking. And when we get down to verse number 14, you're going to realize, hey, it doesn't sound like David here. So verse number 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathed out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, verse number 14, it's almost as if someone else jumps in. That's just how I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying that's what catches me. Goes on and says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you would begin to speak to our hearts. Lord, I want to say I'm very grateful for the ones who walked through these doors this evening. They didn't have to. They could have chosen to stay at home. But God, you brought them here, and I thank you for that. Lord, we know there are ones that want to be here, and they probably can't because of sickness has overcome their body. So God, we pray for the ones who aren't able to be here because of their sickness, and we ask you to bring healing to their bodies. Lord, we also pray for the ones that just don't have a desire to be here. God, I pray that you'd get a hold of their hearts, and you'd bring them back to us so that we can again worship together. God, I pray that you just use me tonight. I need your wisdom. I need your strength to get through your word tonight to deliver to your people. But we ask you these things in your name. Amen. I always love going through the book of Psalms. It's a great time of encouragement. You can always find something in there that fits you for that day or fits you for whatever you are going through. And I oftentimes find myself going to the book of Psalms for comfort because that's what David did during that time. And so as we pick up here in verse number 1, we see David here. He's talking to the Lord. What a great place to be in when you think about that. having conversation with the Lord, actually putting it down upon paper. I've never done those things. I've known people who have written their prayers out to God. That's always encouraging. I myself cannot do those things because my writing is not the greatest, and once I write it down, nobody can interpret it. And so therefore, I choose not to do those things. But we see here that David took the privilege to do this on many different occasions. Oftentimes, I would look up where David was at during his time as he was writing some of the book of Psalms. And as he's going through here, he says, "The Lord is my light." I began to think about that this afternoon as I had my eyes closed and begin to contemplate the light of the Lord. Last night, we are on our way home from Sioux City, and I'm going to say this. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to visit family in Sioux City. I know I give Chris a hard time, and I know I say some things like Sewer City, but it is my second home. I can go there and relax and just enjoy myself. I can go there and not be bothered as well. And some people don't like to bother me, so but that's okay. But as we were on our way home last night, it was pretty quiet in the vehicle. And what normally happens is my wife and my daughter, they'll go off into La La Land, or if they're not in La La Land, they're usually on their phone doing this, that, or the other thing. But last night, I was looking around, and nighttime usually bothers my eyes now with the lights on the vehicle. I didn't used to have that problem years ago. Matter of fact, when I would go on vacation, I preferred to drive at night just because I didn't like the brightness of the sun. It would bother my eyes throughout the day. You guys know that I squint horribly bad. And then when you're driving in a vehicle for hours on end, my vision becomes really blurred throughout the day. But lights now have a different illumination. Have you guys noticed this? And my truck doesn't have the lights that most vehicles have on them now, and that's the LED style. I was noticing a vehicle behind me last night as we're coming home, and one of the things that I noticed about it was the brightness of his lights and how it really overtook my lights. And I'm thinking to myself, holy cow, I cannot believe how bright his lights are, and he's behind me. And really made my light look nothing. And so I let the individual pass me because he was going way faster than I was. And I began to look at his lights as he's going away from me. It seemed as if they just kept getting brighter. And it really lit my path. I got so lost in it, I was no longer looking at my lights. I was looking at his because that's how bright they were. The Lord says here, David says here, verse number one, it says, "The Lord is my light." Think about that. In your darkest of times, in your darkest of hours, guess who your light is? It is Jesus Christ. David faced some moments in life where he was in darkness. I mean, think about this. He had people who were after his very life. His own father-in-law sought to kill him. He was hiding in places where he was hoping that man would not see him. But he knew that he can call upon the Lord for light. The Lord is my light. And as I begin to think about this afternoon, even though the lights are much brighter than they are before, there's no light that is brighter than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no light brighter than him. And I'm thankful for that. David goes on in verse number one. He recognizes the great light that Jesus is. And then he goes on, he says, "and my salvation." I don't think David's talking about his salvation as far as going to heaven. I believe he's talking about salvation here as far as he's his protector. Think about it. David was fleeing for man. David was fleeing for his very life. And he realized that the Lord was not only his light, but the Lord was his salvation. The Lord was his protector. Think about that. You and I have safety in the Lord. No matter where we're at, where we are at, he is going to protect us. It goes on here in verse number one. "The Lord is my light and my salvation." David goes on, he says, "whom shall I fear?" He recognizes that the Lord is his light, his salvation, And because of that, I really have no reason to fear. You know, that's a true statement with you and I. We really have nothing to fear because God is inside of us. The Holy Spirit is indwelling within us. And he goes on and he begins to say in verse number 1, again, there's so much here. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. You know, there's moments and times in the life of David where he probably didn't eat, where he probably didn't drink the way that he should have. His body became fatigued. His body became drugged down. But he knew that he can call upon the Lord for strength in his life. You know, this is no different than today, folks. You and I, even in our weakest of moments, do you realize that we can call upon God for strength in our life? We could ask him, we could say, God, you know the ailments that my body is being plagued with today. And so, God, I call upon you and I ask that you give me strength for this day. We can do those things. He says, he's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Goes on through verse number 2. It says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I will be confident. David knew even in darker moments, when he was faced with enemies in front of him, that God would be his protector. He didn't really have to fight his way out. He knew that God was going to take care of him. I begin to think about this afternoon, and my mind began to go back several years ago when my daughter was probably about the age of 10 and had about 5 years of karate on her. I believe it was about that long. It could be a little bit less, maybe a little more. And I remember going to the Walnut School that used to be down there on 29th and J or K or wherever that is down in that area. And they had the karate program, and she began to excel in that pretty quickly. And I remember one time her instructor says, you know, Chad, I'd really like to use your daughter for this because I believe that she has the mentality to do this. And I after he began to tell me what he's going to do, I said, yeah, I really want to see this. So what he did, he gathered around, I believe, 15 kids that were in the class. I'm talking girls and I'm talking boys as well that were in this class. And they would gather around a circle. And during this deal, she had to fight or spar or defend herself, however you want to put it, for 30 seconds apiece with each classmate in that circle. And I begin to think about this afternoon. I'm thinking, wow, what a great picture. As she's being surrounded by her enemies at that time, she had to go against them and fight every single individual. Now, they only went for 30 seconds. She had to keep on going. She had to find strength. She had to find stamina. She had to find energy to keep going to get to the end. And she was able to get through all 15 of those kids during that time, and it lasted about 5 minutes, I believe, something like that. Begin to think about that. You know, God is not going to leave us alone in our battles. God's not going to leave us alone to face our enemies by ourselves. He's there with us. And I thought to myself, what a great picture, what a great reminder. Even though we might be in those situations, we cannot fight ourselves out alone. But our Heavenly Father can get us through those difficult times. Even when you have a host of enemies, God will be able to overcome them because He is God. He is the light. He is the salvation that He is needing during this time. He is the strength that He needs to have as well. Goes on and says in verse number 4, says, one thing I have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after is this, that I may dwell in a house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David here, it says in verse number 4, had a great desire to be forever with the Lord, to be surrounded not only by the Lord, but to be surrounded by his beauty. David began to realize during his time what God really meant to him. What a great chapter that we're able to see here. So often we kind of get bummed out. Oh man, we got to have church again tonight. Oh man, pastors want to do a combined service next Sunday. Oh man, we really got to be here at 5:15. Let me ask you a question. Where's your desire at? David's desire was to be in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. I remember growing up, and sometimes I still feel like I'm growing up, but I remember going back when I was a young person, and we used to have revival meetings quite often in our church. And I mean quite often. I'm talking 4 or 5 times a year, it seemed like. And I could be wrong. It could be more. It could be just a little bit less. But we used to have them quite often. And I'm being honest with you as I can be. I enjoyed every single time as a young person, the doors were open to be in the house of God, to learn from his word. Now, it wasn't always the case when I was younger, but as I got older, I enjoyed it more and more and more. What a great place for us to be in the house of the Lord, to be seeking his face and to behold his beauty. What's it mean to behold his beauty? Just to sit and to be in awe of him. That's why I said earlier when I, on occasions when I begin to pray for these things, these messages, I close my eyes. And I just begin to be in awe of him, because I cannot begin to overcome how good he is to us. Today we really serve a beautiful Savior. We truly do. Verse number 5, as we continue on here, David is still talking. He says, "For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." I begin to think about a pavilion. A pavilion is a place where you can go and seek shelter from a storm. There are many pavilions around our community, more so in Omaha. And it's a place where if the weather gets bad, you can have the chance to escape that weather and to be in the safety of a pavilion. But yet, when you're in the safety of the pavilion, you can still look out upon the storm. But yet, you're still inside, and you're protected by that pavilion. This is where David was finding himself in a time of trouble. He wanted to be hid in the pavilion of God. It doesn't stop there, but he also says, "In the secret place, in the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. And then he shall set me up upon a rock." Verse number 6, as we continue here, it says, "And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me." You know, the reason why his head is to be lifted up, because we are not defeated. We are victorious. There is a great picture that was taken. And some of you folks might laugh, but you can learn from sports, especially from the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And I say this with seriousness because their last game that they played, they did not have their starting quarterback. And they had a freshman that was in there, has never really played before, had some experiences here and there, but this was the first game that he was actually starting in. And things were going well for him from the very beginning, but throughout the game, typical Nebraska, things begin to go towards the other opponent. And that happens. That's okay. By the way, just to throw this in there, Hawkeye fans, you still have 0 titles. But anyway, getting back to our subject tonight, as I'm talking about this, at the end of the game, the quarterback threw an interception that really, if it was caught by Nebraska, could have meant the game for them. But it was intercepted. And he goes off to the sidelines. And he's just a young kid. We forget about these people. We think they're grown men. They're kids. They're 17, 18, 19 years of age. Put on this stage to display their talents. And we expect the world of them. They're just kids. So he's feeling defeated, and he just kind of just walks off to the side of the field. And I'll never forget this, because I actually saw this in real time. And I don't know if you folks saw this either, but I saw this in real time. They put the camera on him on the sidelines. He's got his head down. You can just, the helmet's covering his face a little bit, but man, you can see through that helmet sometimes. And you can just see the discouraged look that was on his face, even though the helmet was kind of blocking it. And here comes one of his teammates. You know what his teammate did? That head that was down like this, his teammate went like this, lifted it up. Lifted it up. You know, that's what God does. He lifts our head up. Why? Because we're not defeated. And at the same time, as I'm looking at this, this young man that he's displaying this great character towards his quarterback, he's basically was to say, hey, this isn't worth hanging your head over. This is just a game. This doesn't matter in life. And so we see here, what verse was I at? Verse number 6. It says, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. What a great picture I saw that day. His head was being lifted up by a teammate. My enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. And he ends this verse. He says, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, as we meet in our services, we usually have a routine. We sing 3 to 4 songs each service, and then we go right into the message. You know, there's going to come a day where we're no longer going to meet for services, but we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. We'll have, we'll know what it's like to have the victory over our enemies when we're in the presence of the Lord. But during that time, we're not going to be up there twiddling our thumbs singing 3 or 4 songs. We're going to be singing praises to him. I believe we're going to be singing praises to him for eternity. I truly do. We're going to be lifting our voices up to him and just praising and worshiping him. And this is what David longed for. David longed for this during this time, to be in the midst of the Lord so that he could sing praises to him. You know, I've never heard the voice of David, but I believe with this type of an attitude towards the Lord, he had a beautiful voice. That's just my thought. It doesn't say that in Scripture. It's just my thought. So often we find ourselves singing, do we not? I don't normally sing as much as I used to, but now I like to whistle. My whistling is not the greatest, but I like to whistle songs here and there. You know what that is a form of? That's a form of being content, and that's a form of being happy. When you're happy, you begin to sing. When you're happy, you begin to hum. When you're happy, you begin to whistle. That's normally what happens. There's going to come a day where we're just going to sing praises to the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Looking forward to that day. Then he's got some expectations in verse number 7 down to verse number 9 that he kind of requires of the Lord. Verse number 7, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Here's what he's wanting the Lord to do. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Basically, is what he's saying, Lord, when I come to you, when I'm in prayer to you, and when I'm crying out to you, be merciful to me. And please, Lord, answer my prayers. Verse number 8 says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We should have a desire not only to sing praises to the Lord, but we should have a desire to seek the face of the Lord. Not just in songs, but in Scripture. I don't know anybody's reading schedule in here. Perhaps you don't have one. But we should be seeking the Lord daily in Scripture. I had a text here a few days ago, and they're wanting to get their kid a Bible for Christmas. And they asked me if there's any Christian bookstores here in town, and I began to give them direction to one of the bookstores that I know of in town. And And then after that, the individual responded, I want to get my child a Bible, and I want to set them up with a reading program. And my response was this: you get them the correct Bible, you'll have a reading program in there. And they said thank you, went about their way, and got their child a Bible for Christmas. By the way, what better gift is to get a Bible for Christmas? The Bible that I'm holding in my hand right here is a Christmas gift from my sister Christy 4 or 5 years ago. No greater gift than getting a Bible for Christmas. We should have a desire to seek the Lord daily. He then begins to go on in verse number 9 and says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He has an earnest desire for the Lord to be by his side daily. In a sense, he's making a plea. Lord, don't leave me. Don't leave me alone. I need you by my side. It goes on in verse number 10. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. It goes on in verse number 11. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. I see something very tremendous in verse number 11. He's asking God himself to teach him. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in. One of the things that I have done throughout the years that I was taught as a younger person, before I begin to read God's word, my prayer is, Lord, teach me. Teach me what you want me to learn that day. When you begin to go into prayer in that direction, and I'm not telling you how to do it or how to say it or even when to do it, but if you're to go into prayer and say, God, I need to learn from your word today. Lord, please teach me. You know, there are things in this word, in his word, that I still do not understand. And by the way, not every person understands the whole entire word of God. But teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Verse number 12 says, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. Saying, Lord, I need your protection. Don't walk away. Don't leave me. I need you. Don't leave me in the hands of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But here are some of the most profoundest words I believe in the Word of God. It's found in verse number 14. And that is this: wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. So often things don't go our way. They don't fall into the position that we want them to fall into because we don't have any patience. And we try to get ahead of God. And we don't wait upon him. Some of the best growing times a believer will go through is when they wait upon the Lord. I'll never forget Pastor saying this when he's in the hospital 5, 6 years ago. That was one of his greatest growing experiences as he's going through that, because he had nothing else to do, nowhere to go. But during that time, he had to wait upon the Lord. And that's where you and I need to find ourselves at, is waiting upon the Lord. And as we're waiting upon the Lord, he says this: be of good courage. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's where you and I need to be in our lives. Waiting upon the Lord. Not trying to get ahead of him. Not trying to outdo him. But simply just waiting upon him. That's where we need to be. This afternoon, I believe, was one of the most fulfilling times that I had, to be honest with you, in studying God's word. Just sitting there on the couch with my eyes closed, thinking about the scripture, and this: waiting upon him. You know, we go through trials, we go through tribulations, we go through some hard times in our lives, without a doubt. And we can't wait to get out of those situations. But during those times, here's what we need to realize. Waiting upon the Lord is the best thing for us. That's the best thing for us. Be of good courage. Wait upon the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, we thank you for this evening that you've given us. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that you'd continue to speak to our hearts as we leave from here. We pray that you'd continue to watch over us and bless us as we go about our ways. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.